Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of reimaginedonline.org, covering the stories of the new world of public education. On today's episode, Reimagined senior writer Lisa Bowie talks with Juliette Harrell, a full-time mom of three with two sons who received the Family Empowerment Scholarships. The income-based scholarships provided a lifeline to the family while they experienced homelessness and continue to help the boys even after the Harrells were able to buy their very first home. Hear this touching story next on Podcast Ed. Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the podcast, Juliette.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Tell me about you, your husband, and your kids. What are their ages? What grades are they in? And what scholarship are they on? And where do they go to school right now?
Aiden, he's 10, and Amari, he's 6, and Ashton is 2. Currently, the school that Aiden and Amari attend is Alpha Learning Academy in Orlando, Florida. They are in 3rd grade, and they are in 1st grade. Right now, they are on the Family Empowerment Scholarship, which we are thankful and blessed to receive. They're really big on, they love math and they love science. So we do enjoy going to the Science Center and spending time at the Science Center. And they also enjoy going to the Crayola Experience at the Florida Mall. And we do enjoy taking our dog for walks and going to the playground.
Well, that's a great way to supplement the education that they're receiving at school. So what was your education like the early years, K through 12? What was did you go to a traditional brick and mortar public school?
I did go to traditional public schools, and the public schools did their best. However, there were some, I did have a difficult time because my mom is from Haiti, so coming here, English was the second language in our household, and that was kind of challenging for me as far as with reading and writing. I know for me, even though I have not been diagnosed with it, but I have a strong feeling I struggle with dyslexia. And that's something that, a lot of, people from other countries may not be aware of, the different types of disabilities when it comes to education. We did go to public schools. We, did get some assistance where we did or in ELA classes. However, I felt, the public schools would have done a little bit more with diagnosing kids with dyslexia or, because even though I wasn't ESOL, but I did have challenges with reading and writing. And there just wasn't, for me, I felt like there wasn't really the adequate resources for me to strengthen that weakness that I have. And all through college, I just don't let it hold you back. Ask for help, get resources, have my husband look over my essays and things like that. And even in grade school, I would have my sister or my younger brother kind of help me with my reading. Cause there wasn't really any tutoring or any really after school programs that were available that my mom could afford to pay for, so I had to rely on my older siblings or my younger siblings to really help me out. And that was challenging at times too, because they're like, I don't know how to help you. So it's kind of a little bit kind of traumatizing for me. And still as an adult, I still kind of hesitant to read in front of people or hesitant to write letters or, do applications for different things. So
these tutoring services and things that some of these scholarships provide would have been very helpful for you.
Yes, I think. And also, I think just making parents aware that, hey, there are services out there that are free. Because I think my mom just didn't know. Why I couldn't read? She knew I can't. she knew I couldn't read, but she didn't understand why, if that makes sense. And I think if there were more resources that help families with English with a second language other than ESOL, because children do have disabilities that prevent them from reading. Children come from other countries or come from backgrounds that don't have a lot of resources. They immediately say, oh, it's ESOL, so let's put them in the ESOL class. And it's, for me, it wasn't that I didn't understand English. I didn't, it's just I had struggled with reading and writing as it was more of a disability. And I think right now with the family empowerment scholarships, because children can go to smaller classroom settings, they can kind of narrow in on what the real cause is versus where a large public school is like, we only offer ESOL, so this is what they're going to go into ESOL. They didn't really have the resources to actually say, hey, you know, yeah, there might be some ESOL, but we're also noticing these other things, and here are some more resources for the parent.
Do your children, have you noticed the same thing in your boys or that you had, or are they on track?
My other child, Amari, he's 6 and he's in first grade. We noticed he does have a disability. We're going to be getting him assessed May of next year. I think, I haven't, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I think he might have selective mutism, where in like social settings, he kind of like shuts down and doesn't talk like at all. We have had therapy sessions with him, but now we're kind of taking the next step to make sure, you know, that we kind of help resolve it now. Because I know for me, when I was his age in school was challenging doing certain things. And I know for him, he loves math, excels in math, and is excellent in math. However, with ELA, or English, he doesn't want to read, doesn't want to like have discussions. It's hard for him to interact with his peers or his teachers. And I think that's very important because I know in college, it's a lot of group-driven projects. You're not kind of working on your own. You have to be able to work with your classmates. And I think if me and Dad don't address it now, it may be challenging for him when he becomes an adult. And when he goes to college.
You and your family are just so adorable and have such a nice home. But I understand it was a struggle and a journey to get there. So tell me a little bit about that. What happened to you along the way?
We did not realize how expensive childcare could be or how many boundaries there were. So when I started, I would work, I would provide, and then Alan would stay at home with Aiden. And then we got to a point where the cost of living was just going up, you know, and at one point we could afford to live on just one income and things. But then I lost my job, and then we just had to like kind of figure things out, like, okay, you know, how are we going to manage? Not realizing that we had savings, but realized that $300 is not enough. And it was all like, well, you know, we thought it was enough, you know, of a savings, but we realized quickly that, no, that's not enough. That's not some significant amount of money to have in the savings. So we end up being homeless. And during that time of homelessness, you know, I was living, me and the children were living in a coalition. And Alan decided that it would be best if he just moved back in with his mom. And that was a really challenging time for us because we felt defeated. You know, how could we go from being able to live off of one household income to not even being able to you know, have a home and things like that or have money for emergencies? So we were just living in the coalition, getting help with resources, and I was able to find a job and work. And we were still homeless at the time while I was working and trying to save up. And then one day, my husband spoke with another woman and told us about, you know, Step Up. And I was all like, oh, what's that? And he's like, oh, that's a scholarship that you can apply for. And I'm like, well, you know, a lot of times with scholarships, there's like a lot of requirements and things like that. And he's all like, well, it's based on your income. And I'm like, well, you know, we don't have very much income. And, you know, he was, and I was just like, well, I'll look into it. So I looked into it and I applied and I realized that it's based on low income. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, that I didn't know that there are scholarships out there if you're not, you know, if you're not making a certain amount of money that you'll be able to get a better education for your child on a scholarship. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is amazing. So I did the application and applied for the scholarship and we were approved. And I was like, oh, that's great. You know, we got approved for a scholarship. And then I was like, now what? You know, what do we do then? And, you know, after talking with him, he's like, we kind of figured out. He's like, oh, we have to go look for a school. And I was like, well, that's kind of different from public school because public school, normally you're zoned for a specific school, like based on your zip code. And that was kind of like a defeating moment because I was like, we don't live in the nice neighborhood. Like our zip code, you know, anyone in our zip code or any other zip code, you know, the schools are not the best. And then I found a very small school called Orlando Day Nursery. It was in our zip code. And like when I went there, I was just like, oh, they're probably not going to let us in this school. Like, you know, we are not, you know, I don't think, you know, we'll be able to, you know, come to this school. It's so nice. But I just like kind of like, you know, Juliet, don't be negative. Just go in and talk to them and like find out. And I, you know, ask my questions like, hey, you know, I have a Step Up for Student scholarship. You know, can my kids attend if we're like, you know, kind of like homeless? You know, does it matter about our living arrangements? And they were like, no, you're welcome. You're more than welcome. You have the scholarship and then you just pay the application and registration and you're able to enroll your children. And since then on, being able to like have a school that's so resourceful and very helpful, we were able to save up money. And they offer like, you know, in the community, in the area, they offer like classes with like financial literacy and different things. And I was able to attend those classes because I had childcare and they were also able to go to school. So with the help, I was able to become more financially aware. But we're at the point where we're able to find housing. The housing was, again, based on our income, which was amazing because, you know, right now with the economy, how it is, it was just very hard finding a home that was, you know, in our budget. And that was like affordable. So when we were living in our home, we were able to, you know, participate in the first time home buyers program, which was again something that was offered in the community that we were living in. And I was just, you know, me and my husband, we attended the sessions and found out, you know, what we needed, what kind of credit score we needed, what kind of income we needed. And in 2018, 2019, we were able to purchase our first home, which we were really excited about. But I was kind of like sad because there weren't any homes in the neighborhood that we were living in. Although it's not the best neighborhood, there were changes that are coming. And even though those changes are great changes, you know, a lot of people are not familiar with gentrification. So that's what was happening in our community. And we kind of got, some people would say we got pushed out and, you know, things like that. And I just feel like, you know, there just wasn't home ownership in our community was not very big in that area. You know, a lot, they mostly had apartment complex or more of homes that were already occupied or homes that were being rented out. So there wasn't really area for home ownership. So we did move. And we purchased a home in another community, and we're very thankful for our home in the community that we live in. And the school that the boys go to it's 5 minutes away, so it's walking distance, and they're able to be on the scholarship and able to get the resources that they need. With Aiden, he is excelling in class, and the teachers are amazing, and they are challenging him because he's very bright. And with the Family Empowerment Scholarship, he's able to be a safety patrol this year, which he's very excited about, gives him some responsibilities. And also his brother is able to go to school with him, which is another thing that we're excited about. And we're just kind of looking forward to where he's going to be next year. And with Amari, this is a big change for him because, you know, this is his first time in I would say transitioning, because before he was in more of a smaller environment. So now this environment is a little bit bigger. It's more independent. And me and Dad feel like he's adjusting well. And, you know, the first couple of weeks were a little bit challenging. But now that I was able to talk to the teachers, and they were able to explain to me what some of the challenges are. So now we're making sure that he gets the resources that he needs. And we are excited and thankful for the Family Empowerment Scholarship because it has really made a difference in our family. And I don't know where we would be without that resource.
What advice would you have for a teenage couple who were in the same position that you and your husband were in? What would you tell them?
You know, oftentimes you're supposed to like go in order. Like you're supposed to, get your diploma, after diploma, go to college, you know, after college, get a career and start working. And then after college, you kind of start your family. But you know, it's okay to go out of order. And it's okay if things don't go right. You know, just continue to focus on your goals and continue to just keep going, because, you know, I started off, some people would say I started off wrong, and, you know, I didn't start off the correct way, you know, and it's like, you know, life, you can't choose what happens in your life. All you can do is make the most of it. And that's what me and my husband did. You know, we met in high school and we fell in love when we first met. We had a class together, and the first thing I went up to him, told him that you're going to be my husband one day. And not knowing that at 18, I would be pregnant and we would be living on our own at 18 and we would face so many adversities and challenges, you know, even though that's not what my mom wanted for me or that's not what his mom wanted for us. But we didn't let that stop us. We just continued to say, hey, you know what? This is what our life is and we're going to make the most of it and we're going to do it together.